All right, guys, welcome in. Sean here along with my guy Adam Stanker. JB along here in about 60 seconds. It's a Monday filled with all stuff. And boy, it's a week filled with all kinds of stuff. And we got tons to cover. And which we haven't covered much the last few days, say, the last few shows before we get to JB. And it's great to have Trip Lee along as well. And Laura behind the scenes. And she's really in front of the scenes because makes it happen. We love Mondays because, well, Mondays are awesome because of the new week, but also all the stuff we have to get to that is out there. The gambling thing obviously isn't going to go away. We saw some improvements. What a weird schedule it was in the NFL, but something, you know, I'm sure in the hardcore West Coast and in the far East Coast, Toronto and Dodgers, their fans are talking about it. But, and I'm a diehard baseball fan, as you are, Segs.
Yep.
The buzz is weird because I don't hear much of it. And it's even got, I've even got caught up in the lack of it. And I grew up in California watching it, but Segs, I don't miss a pitch. We're two games in. And while I've watched it, I would say probably 5 to 7 innings combined of the two games and then watch clips and some highlights, you know, of the good stuff. But and it's not fair because this is huge. 1-1 headed back to LA. It was big for LA to get it. How are you feeling and how do you think the series turns out? I still think the Dodgers are going to prevail. I just do in the long run. I think that they're better, but they can't let Toronto go in there and grab a couple of them now and then have to head back, right? They have got to take care of some business because that'll be tough sledding. Give me the Dodgers. I said Dodgers in 6 when it started, but did we expect when a Dodger team's in it for the buzz to be there? And I think even teams, and it's weird that dynamic of Canada. It's something like, well, it's Canada. I got to root for a U.S. team, but it's the Dodgers. Oh, I can't root for them because they buy championships, which everybody's doing in college sports now, too. They buy championships. So where does it lie? And is this one of those, well, it's the lesser of two evils for some? Because I'm not as into it as I normally would be for a World Series, even during football season, which, well, the World Series happens every year during football. But I've watched less, and I don't know why, Segs.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because it was the Friday-Saturday start to the World Series because, you know, Friday night, as it – my nephew's varsity football game, watching them. And then I get home and I watch the final few innings. Saturday night, I'm watching college football all day. And it was, oh, the World Series on. I catch the last, I think, last three and a half innings of that game. So I've watched the end of each game, but I kind of forget or I'm doing something else. But yeah, I feel like Dodgers, I mean, we got an interesting matchup with Scherzer, who's pitching on his fourth different World Series team, which is the most ever. Going against Glasnow, who's, you know, a really talented pitcher that's dealt with a bunch of injuries, but two guys that can light up the radar gun, and they bring that grit and toughness that you like to see from your pitchers. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, I'm with you. I like the Dodgers. If, you know, race to three now. Now it's basically a first to three wins, and I like the Dodgers in that situation.
And I can tell you this, the coolest thing about it is I like when a guy goes out there, pitches his ass off, and decides, let me clean this dugout up after to make sure. I mean, dude, he kicked Yamamoto kicked right into my OCD, brother.
Y'all, man.
Telling you, he kicked right, because I am the guy like, man, this sunflower seed sitting down here, somebody, or there's like a, you know, the old school, remember the old school white funnel cups, like you drink them, the guys would throw them on the ground, they'd miss the trash can. I'm the guy who, not because I want somebody to pat me on the back, it's more for I can't look at that. So the OCD, I'm sitting here, ball game, pitches his ass off, and then all of a sudden he's cleaning dugouts up after. Yeah. I'm thinking, dude, I feel you, because that's that, or like a bat will be like twisted or hanging off and not on the rack right. I'm the guy that says, put that thing on the rack right.
That's your OCD.
Yes. Oh, dude, you have zero idea. Well, I'm thinking, what am I more pleased with? The baseball game and the way he pitched, or the fact that this dude's doing what I would do? Why don't you start raking the dugout? Because I think I'd do the same thing. You know, like people used to rake shag carpet in the 70s. So it was one of those, like, I love this dude, but he also pitched well. Give me the Dodgers still in 6. And maybe this week it'll get me back into it because it's during the week games and we play game 3 tonight. Triple E and Segs, we'll get right back with you. Let me fire our favorite 5, fire for 5 with JB, as we do every week. He does his own show at, you get him the Real Coach. It's at the Real Coach _ JB. You know the Coach JB show every morning. You get that fire, and we bring it here too with him. Hell, we'd have him on even more, but you know he got a lot going on, as we all do. And we don't want to ball hog all his time, but we are going to ball hog it on a Monday. JB, let me start here, man. Who's the biggest joke in the NFL? Well, first off, good morning to you, brother. You're not betting with Michael Corleone at your poker table, are you, brother? Getting involved with the Gambino family with your homies over the weekends, are you? You're keeping those guys on outside the dry cleaner business that you, I know, are running on the side too. So I want to make sure.
What was that?
How's that? Is that you talk about the eye of the sky don't lie? You don't have one hanging from your chandelier and counting cards and doing all that, JB. You kept the Gambino and Lucchese family out of your poker table, right? Please tell me. I don't want to have to. I told you I ain't coming looking for you. If somebody tells you somebody to grab a shovel and tell you where to not tell anybody where you're going, I don't need to come find you, dude. You're my friend. Don't do that.
Hey, I had we got a little viral video going. Obviously, we had Tim Donaghy on the show on Friday, literally less than 24 hours after all this broke. So we had the guy of all guys come on the
but
show.
But not the only guy now, right? JB, no. He ain't the only guy now.
He dropped bombs on our show, Sean. He broke down everything from Michael Jordan to Dick Pavetta and just how the Lakers should never have three-peated because they really lost to the Sacramento Kings. And he broke down a bunch of stuff on the show. That's the second time he's been on. He's going to make a weekly appearance on our show as the NBA season's going, and we're going to break down certain plays like this. I think it'll be huge because he'll be able to say, did he miss that layup on purpose now? Or like there's a lot going on.
There's anybody that knows that trying to rehab himself, he knows because, he helped invent it. So
hey, Sean, he don't give a shit.
Why would he? They all turned on him. They all threw him under the bus. And he knows that he made that bed. He had to sleep in it.
Yeah, he says it. He owns it all.
You own it. And then I said, now you're trying to.
He brought up
Otani. Now you can tell the story. There you go. Well,
brought up Otani, too.
Just like, we know some names in the NBA that if they were involved, you're never going to know about for obvious reasons. But here's the problem. When feds get involved and the mafia is involved, they don't care about your superstar treatment if that's what was the intention.
Now Antonio Gates. Now you're seeing all this come out. And he said on the show, he said, man, just wait. This is just the beginning of this is the tip of the iceberg. It's about to get ugly for all sports.
Oh, and we said, JB, and we had, I don't know if you and I talked about it, Sags and I had said also last week that when it happened, I said, it's going to get far worse before it gets better. These are just the initial names up front. It's going to cross over into other sports. Hammy, JB.
It's funny that he started off the season when all this was coming down. It's funny that Adam Silver was on McAfee 2 days prior and talking gambling, and Shams said he knew about it the day before it happened. Its chronological order has kind of been real coincidental, I guess we'll say.
Yeah, I guess there is coincidence out there. Who there's anyway? Yeah, JB, I don't know. It could be a hammy. You never know. But I know this.
Could be in Germany with Barry Bonds and them, Rub.
Yeah, I'm watching load management far more than I ever did, and I watched it closely. I'm right here.
Load management sure makes sense now, don't it?
Yeah, and when you're throwing balls away out of bounds and nobody's standing there, that makes sense too in a 2-point or 4-point or another.
You know, the interesting thing for your audience, the biggest takeaway I took, and there's a question that I asked. I pat myself on the back for asking this question. Is there going to be a class action lawsuit for you and I that bet on all these different apps, DraftKings, FanDuel, all these different things? I bet and got if I got screwed on a bet, and it's because of this, is there a class action lawsuit coming down the pipe?
Well, tell me at times you haven't asked me, how did I get fucked over on that? There's no way.
He said, absolutely, there is.
Yes, of course. And then you sit there saying, now that, because I was always the glass half full in the good way thinking, I know it exists, but the people aren't this stupid to get involved to make this kind of money. And
how's,
you know what?
Vegas, they so are stupid. Vegas, dude. So dead on accurate with these lines? Like,
yeah, they set them and they hit. And you're thinking, who scores 25 points in a football game? And you win 25, 20. I mean, it's like, you know, you just do the numbers of field goals, extra points, 2 points. Like, we get to 25 and say, they picked and scored me 20. 25 to 23, what?
So right? You're telling me A&M's down at half to LSU. Not only do they just blow them out, cover the number, and then they get fired. The guy gets fired, and that's all on a betting slip in Vegas, by the way. If you notice, somebody hit $1 million bet on that A&M would cover, and what's the name gets fired? Kelly.
how many fourth quarter points did Denver have a week ago?
Yeah, no shit.
And how about the sudden, how about the Jets' first win yesterday? JV, coming down from that, I don't know. I just think I'll tell you what happens. They've opened the can of worms that allows us to question this now, though. All right, let's fire off five of them, JV. Roll through. Biggest joke in the NFL. I don't care if it's player or coach. Who is it right now? Eight weeks in.
Cleveland.
Why?
Just how they've managed. They've signed 9 quarterbacks throughout the year. All the turmoil. You can't tell me the Shedeur Sanders drama isn't wearing on Stefanski. You've stuck with Dylan Gabriel. He's not been good, but he's a third rounder again. We didn't think he was first round talent. So the way that they absolutely manage this organization, and the way they're wasting Myles Garrett, who had 5 sacks yesterday, is just grotesque. It's just continued to be the team that they've always been. I put them ahead of the Jets only for the reason I think the Jets are the worst organization in football. But I say Cleveland has ruined this season alone just because of the Myles Garrett factor and the fact that you had Flacco to start the season and to trade him to a opponent in your division is something that we've never seen, Sean. Like, yeah, that's something that we've never seen. Why would you trade them? And I'm right with Mike Tomlin. I'm glad he called him out because he knew what Flacco was about. That's when Cincinnati beat Pittsburgh last week or 10 days ago. He knew how good Flacco is. If he gets around some wideouts like Chase and Higgins, holy shit. And then look what Flacco's doing. Flacco played again, lights out yesterday, and their defense just can't stop a nosebleed, and Justin Fields goes crazy in the second half. But Cleveland, overall, to me, as an organization, is the worst.
Okay. With that, real quick, JB, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, the rest of the season, talent being equal, which quarterback do you want in 2025? There were good quarterback performance in that game last night. Pretty elite.
Yeah, Jordan Love's younger and all that, but he's still inconsistent.
Just for this year. Just for this. If would the Packers be better? Flip the quarterbacks. Flip them. Which team goes farther?
I'm still going to take A-Rod because of the experience. Okay. Here's the issue. You have no weapons, and DK Metcalf is an overrated wide receiver. I've been saying it for 3 years. He's known for what? Walking down a guy on a pick. Let's be honest. What is he known for? Running down full effort, and we thought, oh, man, this guy gave great effort, walked that guy down, made a hell of an effort play. That's what he's known for. Nobody wants to talk about it. Name me a big-time play he's made in a big-time game. I'll wait. Because he dropped balls last night, cost him again. Like, the guy is so inconsistent for a big old freakish looking dude. He sure looks like Tarzan, play like Jane, Sean. Yeah, they have no weapons. They have no weapons on offense. And you got, they're in 13 person. They live in 31. They live in 12. They live in all these heavy formations, Sean, on offense because no outside weapons. Right.
When people ask why they do that,
wobble tight ends. Yeah.
That when people ask why they do that, it's real simple. People get in formations because they're protecting another weakness, and they're a lot of cosmetic, but not a lot of soul when it comes to off. And their defense continues to struggle and be a problem.
How?
Yeah. Oh, I know. I understand.
John, you got $179 million defense. Fact. It's a fact. It's $179 million defense. That D line. Which I said, do not re-sign Watt to that contract. And guess what? He's been abysmal. He's been literally non-show.
Yeah, they're $179 million defense. It's $179,000 production.
They need a Venmo Tomlin back.
Boy, do they ever. Okay, JB, do the 5 sacks sew up 8 games in, and we already know who the defensive player of the year in Myles Garrett, or is it somebody else? Who's better right now?
Man, I don't know. It seems like every good defensive player is on a bad team.
Or
Max
hurt.
Crosby, what's his name hasn't played? Yeah, hurt.
Bosa and Fred Warner both hurt, right? Yep.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I guess Myles Garrett by default. I don't really know if anybody else is worthy. Denver has some guys. You think Surtain again is in the picture, but, I don't know. Denver's defense.
Their
is really
defense
good.
As a whole is epic, and they may break the sack record this year the way they're getting after it. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine Myles Garrett there. But I don't know, man. It's bad. I don't think that you can really point out a guy. Sean, is it me or is it am I correct here when I say name me the Heisman clear cut favorite. Name me the clear-cut MVP in the NFL. Name me the clear-cut defensive player in the – is this not the most watered-down shit you've ever seen?
There's we're 10 weeks in, 9 weeks in college football, right? I mean, we're pushing November, and they start to wrap up here this month, right?
Usually you got I can name, arguing.
Yes, I can name you eight guys. What's that?
I can name you eight. Remember last year we were arguing? Yes. Ash and Jason, right. Who's that argument now?
We got eight guys right now, and I can't make a case for one clear Heisman Trophy winner. In the NFL, I don't know, 1 week it's Baker Mayfield, then it's Jared Goff, and then it's Jonathan Taylor may very well be the MVP in the league right now.
I would say
it's
he
a
is
quarterback
right
award. Right, agreed. And yet Daniel Jones, is it's a great complementary situation because they're helping each other. So you're 100% correct, JB. Nothing, just like I don't think there's a great team in the NFL, nothing where we have – it's one, and they're the big – everybody's chasing, although the Kansas City and we know the Rams and teams that are playing well, Detroit, but one where you say they're not beatable. Hell, they're all beatable. Buffalo, you know, Buffalo still hasn't – we're still waiting for them to dominate a great, great team, but we still believe in them. So Cook's playing great football, too.
Place in the chat. He's on my show as well. He comes over, so he's a good dude. He's delusional, though. You're a delusional Green Bay fan. Stop. Micah Parsons hasn't even played enough snaps to even be considered a defensive player of the year, number one.
He's not ahead of Myles Garrett. Yeah.
And Jordan Love, we've seen the inconsistencies, Isaiah. What the hell are you talking about? That's why I said that. But anyway, Sean, you and I before you keep going on the last few numbers you got, you and I picked baseball winners before the season, and I bet a futures bet on the Dodgers.
Yep.
How much, if you
bet that futures bet, JB, let me ask you.
Please, Lord.
What kind of odds did you get? Or did you change it up in the middle of the season when they started the win or later than when they went through the streak? If you picked them at the – how much money? I mean, you're not getting great odds because they were the overwhelming favorite, right?
Yeah, when you and I started the show back – whatever.
February. Yeah.
Damn, the year goes by quick.
I know, it's crazy.
We started – I took them then, and it was like, what, 280 or whatever? It was something like that.
Yeah, right.
And I put $1,000 on it, so I haven't changed anything. So it's not going to be a huge payout. But still,
you never go broke taking a profit, brother. That's a good thing.
Nah, I think they're gonna win in five.
You got them in five. I have them in six. So good on you. I hope that pays off. If you had
Toronto scares me though. Toronto's bats are scary though.
They are, and if they get rolling, dude, they do it in bunches as well. All right, JB, let's move to. What's the trade deadline going to bring for anybody? Who's the biggest mover at trade deadline day? If you're talking about a futures bet and I give you 10 grand, you had to put it on right now. Who's $10,000 on any player in the league that's moving and who will it be?
The only reason I say AJ Brown won't move for the Eagles, but I think the Eagles will make a move before the deadline because they're 6-2. The division's shit. The Cowboys choke again. The Commanders got Chiefs tonight. No Jaden Daniels. They're struggling. The Giants just lost Scadaboo, and their team probably got Daboll fired. I mean, this team's bad. So I think the Eagles are going to put the pedal on the metal like they always do. They're going to make a big trade at the deadline. Is AJ the guy, though? I don't know. I know he's disgruntled, but they always make a move, and Roseman always makes a move. But they got such a stronghold on the division right now. I still think they're going to make a move at the deadline or before the deadline. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys tried to get a Max Crosby, tried to get somebody to make some sort of change and make a push, because right now Jerry Jones looks very bad with his comments about their defense is still okay. No,
their defense blows. They suck. They should be playing on Friday night. All right.
So if you're a big time, I guess, organization as America's team is, don't you think they have to make the move more than anyone?
No doubt. And is Max Crosby in your – so Max is the biggest mover at trade deadline for you?
I think so. Yeah.
Possibly A.J. Brown. All right. Texans yesterday looked like a team. The week before, they looked like they were putrid. Who are they? Do you really believe they're a playoff team?
Not with the Colts playing as good as they are, and the Jacksonville Jags can still beat you because of that defense. I don't know if they are right now because they're not getting three in that division. They're not the AFC West. They're not going to get three because I got the AFC West getting three in. You got the AFC East now in New England possibly getting two in. That's five. Now you got the Colts. You know they're going to get a lock. There's six teams right there. You only got one more, Sean. Who is it? Is it the Texans? Is it? Right. Is it, it? Like, there's another. You know, who is it? I don't know. It's got to be one out of the North, though, right? Got to get the Steelers, or possibly. I think the Ravens are cooked. Cincinnati and Cleveland's cooked. So possibly the Steelers are your seventh. The Texans are looking outside in right now.
Yeah, they're going to have to play great the last. That's why a fast start. When people say, "Oh, it only matters what happens late," you and I both know that ain't the that ain't the case. All right, JB. Finally, and I'll let you go, brother. I appreciate it. Great stuff as always. What's the best college job available? You got LSU, Penn State, Florida. Who am I leaving out?
What UCLA, are UCLA,
Oklahoma State, Arkansas.
I mean, so, goddamn, we've never seen this many. Never seen this many right. before November.
Right. So what's the best? Forget who, you know, Lane Kiffin's obviously, John Gruden been talked about at some of these. What's the best job? You're a coach. Put yourself in it. Where would you go?
Florida.
Why?
The state. You could throw a rock outside the facility and grab 1,000 5-stars. Here's the issue. If you
Does location mean anything to coaches, JB? Like for instance, so would you rather live in Baton Rouge or Florida? I mean, does where you have to live matter?
Yeah.
Nowadays,
Have you ever heard of a guy turning down SC or UCLA?
No.
Regardless of how heavy the state is with inundated with
pro teams, right.
So the debate I've been having on my show with Sean King and Weddle and all these different guys is, well, Florida has the Miami Hurricanes. They have the Miami Dolphins. They have the Bucks. They have the Jags. They have the hockey team that wins. They have all these teams in Florida. Yeah, no shit. And that's what people with, like Sean and I, who have egos, because coaches have egos, we want to go there. That's why we go to L.A. to battle the Dodgers and the Lakers and the Kings.
Absolutely.
And, like, what are you talking about? Plus, the weather's pretty damn good. The women are pretty sexy. The food's pretty damn good. And there's no taxes.
Yeah.
So, guess what? Makes a little sense.
Florida. And who? Just a pure football job. Is it LSU or Florida? Because Ole Miss probably not in the pure football job. Or Penn State. Which one's the best pure? And real quick, JB, to validate what you're saying. When I was at SC in 81, you know, Marcus won the Heisman. The Dodgers won. We're in a world, you know. I think it was 81 that they won, but the Dodgers were dominating, playing great baseball. The Lakers were showtime. UCLA had Donnie Rogers and Kenny Easley. I mean, damn good. So, and the Angels were pretty friggin' good too. So, but we were good. At one point, we were the number one team in the country halfway through that year or whatever. So Marcus is running for 200 yards a game, first back to ever run for 2,000 yards in college football. And you're damn right, we wanted – and when you walked into a Raider game, as the Raiders had moved to L.A., you wanted people – or go to a Laker game, and there's no doubt. So there's no doubt the pride comes in and say, yeah, I'm a freshman on USC's campus, and we're rolling. And guess what? People, you walk into Dodger Stadium, it was kind of cool as an 18, 19-year-old. So coaches think the same thing. All right. Just on football related, which is
on the best macro job. Scale, the reason I say Florida still is because it's like the California, it's like the USC factor. Like, are you taking USC or are you going to take, let's just say, you know, Nebraska? If we're going to talk
about the main factor of the Florida Gators, right?
Can I get you to come from Florida to Baton Rouge? Or is it more likely I can get you from Baton Rouge to go to Florida?
Probably the other way around.
My point is, I got more talent in Florida because we're a bigger state. Now, Louisiana per capita could argue is one of the most.
They have the most talents in the country.
They're loaded,
there's no doubt. Yeah,
but as a smaller scale, Florida has more numbers. So guess what? And it's got everything else you want in Florida. I think it's easier to get you to go to Florida. Ask Urban Meyer. And if you get a guy like an Urban Meyer or a Nick Saban to go to a place like that, that's why I believe Lane Kiffin will still be the Florida head coach. I think it fits him the best. He loves Florida. He loves boats. He loves yachts. He loves water. All that stuff makes more sense to me. But AJ McCarron on my show every week has said there's only two jobs Lane will go leave for, and that is Bama and LSU. So it's very interesting. My gut, knowing Lane personally, very well. I think he goes to Florida. I think he's a Gator. That's my personal gut opinion. I think Dan Lanning goes to LSU. And I think
which leaves a great Oregon job that's got a lot of money and resources. And you were talking about Florida. Florida can buy in bulk. LSU buys smaller. I'm talking about with the players, but boy, when you get them, the LSU's got them. But there's just more to choose from in Florida. I get it. Dan Lanning leaves to LSU. Now there's a great Oregon opening. Would a guy like Urban Meyer want that game?
You got four coaches at LSU prior to Brian Kelly that all won natties. Saban, Les Miles, and Ogeron. And Brian Kelly was the fourth coach in succession, and he did not win it. He could not get it done. He didn't win an SEC title, and he didn't win a natty. All three of those other guys won a SEC title and a natty. Ogeron went 41-9. So the problem is, do you want to take on that, or do you want to go to Florida where you're removed from Urban Meyer winning a couple in a row there, but it's been some years now.
Well, now, you're not the guy right? You're not. It's close. It's too closely. Like I said, look at what Kalen DeBoer is doing right now. If he's able to go and win it, that's impressive because after all the flack, that's hard to do in a two-year span, right?
So,
interesting stuff. There you go. JB, great stuff, brother. We'll do it again next week. And, again, it's at the Real Coach _JB, and you got the Coach JB Show 5 days a week, and you'll never miss on hardcore opinion and insight, and I love it. Good stuff, brother. Let me know if somebody invites you to get their dry cleaning done for them and you're headed over there. I'll make sure I keep an eye out for you and send help. Okay. Be careful. All right. Be careful. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. There you go. Love you, brother. Thanks. Let's bring Segs back in. Segs, you heard JB talk about the best job, which kind of let's tie this into the Brian Kelly stuff. I thought the Brian Kelly mix, Segs, was weird from the get-go.
Yeah, it never made sense.
If you told me that this was happening 4 years or 3 years ago and Brian Kelly was leaving Notre Dame to Penn State, I kind of get it. He feels like that, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just when he left Notre Dame to here and it almost like had to force-feed himself into crawfish and, you know, a crawfish broil, understanding which he probably never, a crawfish boil, should I say, where he's never been on one possibly in his life. And then little, they know. It'd just be like taking, that's why I don't ever see Lane Kiffin to Penn State, is while Lane could do it. Lane Kiffin, that just seems like, nah, the abrasive part. Some of his inside funny jokes and fun things would be, it's a little less button. I mean, I'm not saying Florida's not buttoned up or LSU's not buttoned up or somewhere else or Ole Miss, but there feels to be a little bit more, less coat and tie, honestly. I don't mean it disrespectful that it just is, and it depends on what you like. And I just think he's more suited for somewhere else, including Ole Miss, which leads us to the Brian Kelly stuff. It was time. They're not getting better. They got their ass kicked this weekend. Their offense is supposed to – remember after they beat Clemson, people had LSU as winning the national championship.
Yep.
And now we realize Clemson's just they're okay. They're nothing special. They're decent. And LSU offensively is blah. Defensively, they don't get stopped. They are just not a good. I was on with Matt Muscana, like to do every week at LSU, in the LSU Saints in Louisiana, talking about it. And you know what? Matt asked me, and we were trying, you know, every week you try to get down into the hardcore of why is Nussmeier banged up? What's going on with Brian Kelly? And I remember at the beginning of the season, I said, well, do you think, Matt, that Brian can last? He goes, Sean, with the money he's making, how do you fire him? I said, well, I guess we'll see. Well, here we are. And then we were talking about, so every week you go into the X's, O's, Y. And when he asked me this last week, you know what I said? After, you know, the Vanderbilt game and going into this, I said, have we ever thought that maybe LSU's just not that good? We just assume they're good. And the truth of the matter is, talent's good. The parts are pretty good. They've got some decent players. But in truth, they are – an average football program right now, meaning the sum is not real good for whatever reason. And I think Brian Kelly would be very difficult to coach with because I don't think it feels from my vantage point that they're walking into work every day is that I hate this job. I'd like to go somewhere else if you're an assistant. I feel that guys are there that they really think this isn't coaching and there's no fun or that this is too much a grind. And maybe I'm wrong, just from my vantage point. It feels as if Brian Kelly would be a tough wife to live with. Does that make sense? Meaning in the coaching terms, you have to go into the office like so, or a tough husband if you're a wife, like the constant grind. So if you're an assistant coach, and when I meant wife, I'm simply meaning if you're a husband coming home and a wife got it buttoned up, and when you come home, you know what I'm saying, done it right, and the wives usually run the household because they're smarter than we are and better at it. And I don't mean run the household chores. I'm talking about everything from finance to the CEO of the house. With Brian Kelly – I feel like, you know, that job saying, you ever had that job or that teacher that you go to, did you wake up to school and you knew it's like, I hate this. This class yep. sucks. I almost feel from my optics that it's a buzzkill every day going to the office. And I might be wrong. I get that feeling with Brian Kelly that he's not a lot of fun to be around, I guess. He's not the life of the party. And you knew this was coming down the pike at some point. It just happened before the end of the season. But that'll be a job everybody wants because the talent you get there is phenomenal. It's a great program with great fans.
It felt like everything started to kind of fall apart at LSU. Now, they still had the hope that this team was going to be really good. But when the whole Bryce Underwood thing happened and they weren't able to secure that, because remember, Bryce Underwood was always going to LSU. He committed a long time ago to LSU, to Brian Kelly, to Joe Sloan, the OC, who also got fired. Yep. His relationship with Joe Sloan, Bryce Underwood's was fantastic. And he was coming there. And then Michigan rolled out the money. That rolled out the come play for us, the legacy of being a Michigan kid. And they got that flip. And then you just started hearing whispers from Bretton Rouge about Brian Kelly, about, oh, he's not this guy that he's trying to portray down there in the South. And I think when it all comes down to it, Sean, Brian Kelly's just not that good of a football coach. He's never been that guy. I mean, yes, he's had some good seasons at Notre Dame. Yes, he was fine, you know, really good at Cincinnati.
It's James Franklin, dude.
Yes, yes. He's always has that one loss where you're just like, what the hell? I mean, even going back to his Notre Dame days, like, how did you lose that game? How did, you know, what are we doing?
Well, he coached them to a national title, right? And then they got their ass kicked. And then
Yes. Right. So, yeah. I mean, and it's Notre Dame. You should be playing for national titles. But they were never – they never got back to being Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman has them trending that way. I got to see if that continues, but Marcus Freeman's done more in his few years at Notre Dame than Brian Kelly did in his entire, 11 year tenure. So I just don't think Brian Kelly's that good of a coach.
I would never give him that. I'm not sure Brian Kelly's ever going to get the gig that, or at least I can't say never. He's not an old man to the point where his career is almost over. But I don't see Brian Kelly ever getting the opportunity. Notre Dame and LSU back to back, and right. then he didn't win a national title.
People are already saying how's he get it? Penn State.
Yeah, like, how's
no, he should not why? Get that level of a job.
Why would he be at Penn State to do the same thing that the guy that there has already done with, quite frankly, no district. Penn State gets good recruits, but I'm sorry to tell Penn State, you're not getting the same players LSU does. You're just not. Right. You're just not. Just like hell, there's certain schools that just aren't gonna. Doesn't mean they don't have great players and don't develop them, because they do. And Penn State's good, but you're and Eastern Pennsylvania, Western Penn. There's good players in Ohio, Pennsylvania. They'll go steal a legacy guy from Florida. Yes, I get it, but the volume of five, you're just not getting those guys. Why? Sometimes people just don't want to live in one way in and one way out. And I know it's a beautiful country, but you have to have a special affinity for that. You just do. Why would I hire a guy? That's a lateral move. I'm hiring right. one guy to replace him with the same guy. Okay. One's got some excuses and one's awfully abrasive. Not that I can't, I don't care how abrasive he is. I mean, fine. But as a coach, you do have to create some kind of harmony and buy-in from everybody. LSU looked like a team that they were never on the same page as a right. staff. Never since he's been there. And you got to, Dr. J said, I've said it too. If you're going to I don't want to say an asshole because I don't want to put that on somebody, but if you're going to be abrasive and kind of a prick, I'm being mm-hmm. kind with this, then you better be damn good at what you're doing. Because there's a lot of pricks coach football, but Urban Meyer, I'm sure, was a prick at times with his guys. And I mean this affectionately because, well, this is how you win. You got to be selfish. You got to be single-minded at times. You got to do it. But I know this. The one thing about it, be a prick, but Urban Meyer knew how to get recruits and coaches and knew how to win.
Exactly.
And so we don't care. Nick Saban's probably not. Well, I've talked to coaches that have been on the staff with Nick. And Nick's guys, and if you're a defense, I've said this to you before, Sigs, if you're a defensive back coach and you're not playing, doing it right at LSU, I mean, at wherever Saban is, you're his defensive backfield coach, you're the most scrutinized assistant coach in the country by, I'm talking about within your staff. Yep. And I while Nick, great, and they love him, but the fact of the matter is, listen, Saban's already worried about another national championship when he's walking off the field after he won that one before he gets to the locker room. That's a hard thing to live with. It just is the grind that goes with it. But you know why he's the greatest? Because no matter what the coach was or who his assistant was, they still won. They still got buy-in from whoever it was, and those guys that learned behind and said, oh, this is the way you do it. And he toughened people up. He toughened Kiffin up. He toughened Sarkin. He's done that with a lot of coaches and taught them a different way, and it's paid off. So I don't think people are going to walk away from LSU saying, man, I learned the greatest thing in my life because Brian Kelly, I was his assistant coach. And if you don't have some kind of peace and harmony, you don't have to kiss each other's ass, but you do have, you can't be afraid to disagree with your head coach, because if you are, doesn't it look like a team full of hell, treading lightly? I don't even know what we're going to do on game day. And a quarterback, quite frankly, who I love, Nussmeier, has played like that this year.
Yes.
Even though he gets chewed out, he's played like a guy. I know he's better than this. And he's played like a guy who knows that every mistake he is not going to have, that there's, that it'll be Brian Kelly, it'll be, I confess, it's the, that guy's problem, right? And here we are. And now, and I don't feel sorry for somebody who's making all that money, but that's a self-made bed there, buddy. That's why. And LSU's a great gig to go get if you're an assistant coach.
Let's remember, Brian Kelly Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to go to LSU. It's not like he was fired from Notre Dame and then got the LSU job. He left Notre Dame to go to LSU, and there's not many people that would do that. And we're hearing Marcus Freeman's name come up with all these jobs opening. Now, would he leave? I have no idea.
Why would you leave Notre Dame to go to Penn State?
Why would you? Exactly.
Now, I get you want to go to Florida. You're like, well, why? Notre Dame, there's a few jobs. And I don't mean to interrupt you, Sakes, about this, but you just said it. And I'm about it and getting recruited by Notre Dame, but also people that have been both, you know, Ty Willingham, who was my running back coach in Minnesota when Ty got that gig. And, you know, I'm talking to Golic, people who've played there and people I've played against and watching. And just listen, it's the most historic program in college football history. We know that, right? It's Notre Dame. It's the Fighting Irish.
Exactly.
And if that's – I've always wondered this. Now, I know money's different. Say it's like the player now. You say, why would a guy who's from that part of the country leave and go to Michigan, the quarterback? Well, 12 million reasons why. He doesn't know anybody there but money. So we no longer know if legacy or what matters other than money and starting as a freshman, what have you. I don't even know where we start with all those branches of what keeps a guy there, what gets a guy to go there. No, but if you follow the money trail, that's usually a good place to start, right, Siggs? But if you get a job, there's a few jobs you say, why would you leave? Especially if it's within a million. I mean, is Penn State really going to offer a guy like Freeman $40 million more than Notre Dame? Now, Notre Dame probably comes in a little lighter than some because they can. You know, they can. Their steakhouse could charge more because Notre Dame's an elite steakhouse, and you're going to go eat there no matter what. I get it. But if it's not just money, and maybe you don't like living in South Bend, but, hell, it's a cozy, you know, if you like the just where it's not hustle and bustle, that's kind of a fun, you know, just good place. But it's Notre Dame. Why would you leave Notre Dame to go anywhere else? Unless it was you wanted warm weather in the fall. I don't know why you'd leave, but if Notre Dame, there's a few jobs. And like if you're the Laker head coach or the Celtic head coach, don't you got to be fired before you leave, Sakes?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Or post Michael Jordan with the boy. They're just certain jobs, right? If I'm the Chicago Blackhawks or the Detroit Red Wings. I'm just talking about the pure hockey and history.
Right.
I'm not leaving there unless the money's triple, I get, but just to go, because that's a job you got to fire me from before I'm leaving here if we're doing a good job. I'm getting players. We win. The fan base, they're into it. And in the NFL, like if I'm the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, if they're doing it right, why the hell – why would Andy Reid leave Kansas City? Right? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Unless it's for some big payday. Normally what happens is you get the job. You get somebody offers you a job. They pay you to keep up, and you don't have to leave. So – I don't see why Freeman would leave. That's a step down. Not that Penn State's not a great program, but you ain't leaving Penn State. I mean, to go to Penn State for Notre Dame, are you? But that's just it. There are certain jobs you got to get fired from before I'd leave. And it appears that Notre Dame would seem like one of them. Why would he leave unless Florida says, dude, here's $12 million a year for 10 years, fully guaranteed, and you have carte blanche when it comes to NIL. That part I get because the whole goal is what, Sakes? Win a national title, and he got there, but he didn't win one. So whatever that means, but it is Notre Dame, and that'd be a hard leave. But Brian Kelly, they probably fired him a few weeks too late, to be honest with you.
Well, let me ask you this. With all the crazy amount of schools that we have, if you're Brian Kelly or you're these schools and I'm Brian Kelly and I come to you.
I'm Florida, the AD making these decisions. Yes. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yes. Hey, Florida, I would like a job as the head coach.
And you're Brian Kelly?
Yeah, and I'm Brian Kelly.
No, I'm sitting here and I'd say, well, good. I know you'd like a job and I'd like to win Powerball and Mega Millions at the same time. So we appreciate your insight. Are you looking to be a quarterback coach? You want to be the head coach? That's probably what I'd ask. I'd say, first off, we're not for you because number one is you don't have to fake an accent down here. You're a good coach. You're a good coach, but you're probably better headed up towards the Northwest Midwest where how you approach it is a norm. And I'm not saying that's now Penn State. I'd get that they'd at least visit it, but I'm still at Penn State. That's a lateral move for them. And at Florida, I'd say, no, we have bigger aspirations than just to get beat once in a while in big games. I'm not touching it.
Right. So Penn State, you just hit on it. I'm coming to Penn State.
Now here's the deal. I would probably interview him because he just feels more like that, but he'd have to wow me because just like we'd say, well, a coordinator can't leave from one to the other unless he's given the assistant as a lateral move. Can't do it. Right. I would say, what are we gaining at Penn State with Brian Kelly? Quite frankly, what you're gaining is assistant coaches and an abrasive staff that would probably, at least James Franklin felt like he had some energy and some fun. I mean, at that time he did recruits well. I would say, well, yeah, if we're going to hire him, you're going to be miserable away from football. Sundays or Saturdays are going to be your day off because you don't have to, you're playing at least and you're in the heat of battle. I would say, why make a lateral move? I'd rather hire Dan Lanning at Penn State. I'm not saying Dan's going there, but of names that are being mentioned, I'd rather hire him than I would Brian Kelly. Hell, I'd try to go steal a guy like Matt Campbell from Iowa State to go to Penn State before I'd hire Brian Kelly, because I'm going to get to a certain point, we're just not going to win it. And I think a lot of that has to do with buy-in from his own staff and players.
Okay, so then I'm going to throw out the six teams on the next tier. Tell me if any of these make sense, or should they be going for a younger, more, you know, energetic, a guy that understands
the high-flying offense. Right?
Yes. So Brian Kelly, does he fit any of these? Virginia Tech, UCLA, Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Stanford, Oregon State. All Power Four schools, you know, Oregon State being whatever they are. But
start from any the bottom of those up, work for you? Start from the last one you mentioned and work our way up.
Oregon State.
Oregon State, yes, because you can hide him there and he's a name brand value that if you win 9 games right now at Oregon State, you'll keep his job. Yes, because it's an upgrade. And Brian Kelly does know how to coach. So, yes, you get a guy who's coached at Notre Dame, Cincinnati, and LSU. That is an upgrade. Yes, I would interview him, but you got to know what you're getting. But he will be better for you than you've had.
But would you rather have a younger guy?
Okay, maybe, so I'm prepared. Yes.
Yeah, like if that were the case.
Yeah, there is absolutely no – a younger guy – it's on the rise that we can get cheaper. Absolutely. Yes. Okay.
Stanford.
No, the only thing with that is he'd understand what Notre Dame and Stanford academics do, but I don't think Andrew Luck as the general manager wants to have to go to work every day wondering. He's trying to get out of that. Who wants that daily grind? I just think Brian Kelly's abrasiveness is another, the Bill O'Brien. Look, I know Bill got the job at the coordinator at Alabama and the head coach at the Boston College. But some, those little things now become big things. And what do we say when we first say about Brian Kelly? Hasn't won that big one and just doesn't feel like a fit. You might want to interview him, but Stanford's not going to pay him the money he's used to get paying.
Right.
So he'd better to set out and take all that money is what he is better to do.
Oklahoma State.
No. LSU. It's a square peg in a round hole. Like I said, he wouldn't know how to boil a potato and put some corn on the cob and crawfish. And I'm not saying that's it, but the personalities, I don't see him shaking hands and kissing babies the way they want an LSU and Oklahoma State guy. He doesn't fit the culture there. I would not do it.
So is it the same for Arkansas? SEC kind of.
Yeah. I mean, if you had the choice, I honestly right now, even though he's kind of similar, he's abrasive and kind of a prick at times, but a good offensive coach. If we're getting out of offensive coaches, I can tell you right now, the guy they got there now is a far better offensive coach right now, even than Brian Kelly, who's been some guru. I would if I was questioned between who I got there now and Brian Kelly, I'm sticking with what I got there now, even though we've had some history. They brought him back, so the history seems to be okay at Arkansas. But I'm not going there either. So I would not take Brian Kelly there. And we got to take into account what would he ask for there? $5, $6, $7 million. Right. He ain't winning me a national championship at LSU at Arkansas if he couldn't do it at LSU. No.
Yeah. UCLA.
Dude, I don't know how. If he thought he was going to have trouble getting the type of players he wanted, the speed that he was talking about at Notre Dame, he went to LSU. While the recruiting, I think you probably as a recruit can see right through it. He's not going to get the NIL money he wants from them.
Right.
I think that the recruit can see right through the, hey, man, it's it. Brian Kelly's reputation is going to precede him here, and it's going to be tough to get. I guess, but I asked this, Eggs, what kind of upgrade am I getting? Now, UCLA is going to hire somebody, but I'm not – Brian Kelly doesn't understand West Coast recruiting. He just doesn't. He's not from there. And I'd like somebody that at least understand it. The best candidate, even though he wouldn't take it, I wouldn't think. If you want to see UCLA turn around right now, go over to the Fox Studios and see if that guy will come out of retirement. But Urban's not coming back to fix anything. He's coming back to say, well, you know, you could see him at Oregon if all of a sudden Dan Lanning left.
And win national
that damn right. That damn right. He's not going to go where, like, damn, the guy, other guys in town are the job. Now, at FC, I could see Urban Meyer taking that if Lincoln left. So the truth of the matter is, Segs, with all these – We're dropped down. Okay, pay a guy $6 million to get us two extra wins in Brian Kelly, but still it's not fun going to work every day. It's a little bit miserable. Or somebody who we can win the same amount of games, pay less, and people are happy and there's some buy-in in the building. I think Brian Kelly's going to have a hell of a time getting a Power Four conference job unless two or three other guys leave and they feel like, okay, we got some panache and we'll go get him, right? I don't see it. For me, I would not hire him at any of the big four or five that are available.
What about Virginia Tech?
That's an interesting gig, Segs.
That's the one that Northeast Corridor.
Yep.
Yes. Kind of just, it seems like they're shooting for Shane Beamer to try and bring him back, like his dad, right. Coached there for right. so long.
And I don't blame him.
Doesn't right. seem like it's going to happen. If you're yeah. Shane, why would you leave the SEC to come to Virginia Tech? I get it with your dad and stuff, but create your own path. And he's already started doing that with South Carolina, building them into a formidable program in the SEC.
No question about it. He's done a hell of a job, and he's going to be a hell of a coach for, I think, a long time. But Virginia Tech's the one that if all those you just said, I could say I could possibly see Oregon State because he's a bigger name and in that part of the country, even though they're not going to give you a lot of NIL work. And we'd really get to see what kind of coach Brian Kelly is. Because the recruiting's different. I mean, Oregon's going to dominate the great players up there. And if you go to California, what kind of player you'd really see what kind of coach he is then, because he ain't going to get a whole lot of NIL help, and he's sure as hell not going to get a whole lot of the five-star recruits. So then you got a coach, right? The Virginia Tech thing's interesting because you say, okay, he is a name. He's coached in big games. He is a good football coach. Our offense has been pretty putrid. We need an upgrade. But once again, the question comes back to you, Segs, what's the building going to be like? Do you enhance the building, or is it – because you know what will happen? If he goes in there and handles it like he's done, you know what people start to do? They will flee. They will say, I ain't staying here for this. And they have enough battle in the recruiting and, with where they're at to go get the players Clemson's getting or some other team in the ACC or, SEC country. That's a – Virginia Tech is a great place. Matter of fact, that's one of the toughest places to play when they're good. And you're not getting Frank Beamer anytime soon. Now, that's one, Dr. J, that I could definitely see is Wisconsin and Brian Kelly at Wisconsin for $4 or $5 million midway. I could absolutely see if Wisconsin comes open, that being the place he goes, because listen, you don't have to be a quarterback guru there, although they'd like it. They don't ever have anybody that did, their offense is at least if you average 100 more yards a game, everybody'd be saying you're killing it at Wisconsin. So that I could see. But the other ones, if I'm the AD, I'm not touching him. By the way, Segs, this Scott Woodward, the AD who was at A&M and hired Jimbo and who hired Brian Kelly. When is he held accountable for this? He's given $150 million damn near away. Where else was he? Was he at Texas? Has he gone Texas?
I know he A&M? Did those three or those two. I don't know if he was past that.
He wasn't. Who was the one who's at Portland Trailblazer front office guy that became an AD, or he left the AD to go be the Portland Trailblazers front. I can't remember, but I'm wondering where else has Woodward been? But I can tell you this, with his last two hires of big head coaches, the dude just gave away $130 million venture capital. He did whatever it was between the two. He's paying guys not to work as opposed to win national championships.
Yeah, he was at Washington.
There you go.
2008 to 2016. Then he went to Texas A&M for those 4 years, and now
he might have taken over LSU for Barbara Hedges at Washington. That's exactly right, because I knew there was a third big program, because Barbara Hedges, I think if you looked on there and it said, because she was like an assistant, like one of the like associate ADs at SC's when I was there. Barbara Hedges was, and then she left. I'm pretty sure she might have been either two before or one before Woodward at University of Washington, I think. Now, I don't think after, but she was in that range, and he might have got that gig. But so you go Washington, you go
maybe Texas, what you're A&M thinking of is the fact that he hired Sarkisian out there at Washington. And then he also was the one that brought Chris Peterson there after Sarkisian.
Right. And then he's responsible for Jimbo, right? And he's responsible for Brian Kelly. So the truth is, Scott hasn't been able to tie. He hasn't had a lot of success right now doing that.
He gets the big coaches.
Oh, yeah, he does. But they don't
never
win for him.
It's never the right coach for the program he's at.
That's exactly right.
So, to make it easy,
the hottest commodity is still Lane Kiffin. And he's just going to have to make a decision. Does he want to stay there and build Ole Miss and be that guy like Dabo Swinney is at Clemson? Or does he want to go, because he still doesn't have a national title as head coach, where he thinks that it's more fertile in Florida and it's the Florida? But I can tell you what, Oxford ain't a bad place. And it is sometimes there's great pride in building it, and not only building it, but closing it, but putting the hammer down and finishing it. And I think he feels like it's unfinished, but you know how that money goes in where Florida is, dude.
Right.
And I get Gainesville. I couldn't be mad at him, but I still like the look of him at Ole Miss. But you're going to get more fertile recruiting grounds and more money behind you at Florida.
Especially with Lane, the way he's bounced around over and, you know, from place to place, USC.
Talk about a guy who's been at historic programs. Tennessee, right?
Yeah, like he's just bounced Raiders, all over the place. Yeah. Been with Alabama as an OC. Like, he's been everywhere, it seems. You'd like to just see him stick it out somewhere and not just be like, oh, here's another job I got to go get. And that's kind of the thing with the knock with Lane,
right?
Is he just kind of job hunts.
Right. There's always the bigger name in the room kind of, but
yeah,
that's the way it's been. But I don't know if it's going to mean anything, but there's a part of me that feels like Lane isn't looking as hard. Does that make sense?
The media is connecting him to everything. Right. The football world is connecting him instead of him searching out the Raiders like he did.
And he USC. Said he was right. Said my dream job is Tennessee. Then he went to his dream job at USC. Right. I get it. And I love him. And we hear that all the time.
And it was his dream to be in the NFL at some point.
Of course. And dream to work with Dick Saban. And it's his dream to go get Ole Miss in the national championship. And I get it, but I love him. But there's a part of me. Now, if you'd asked this question 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, easy answer. Gone. But there's a part of the maturity you see in him, the rest. Now, listen, some guy would do the job, want to quit. Now, I don't know how anybody could be mad at him for going to Florida. I get it. But there's this sense of, and I don't know what it's going to mean, but there's this feeling, this sense of there's a little more. Contentment isn't lazy. You can be content in your soul where you are in your life, but aspire for something more. And I'm curious where he is in that. You know, I'm content, but damn, I want this show to be the best podcast in the country. I like what we're doing, but I want it to be big, right. But I don't want to go anywhere else. Does that make sense? So it's one of those things, and it's the same thing for him. I wonder if he's to the point where that, also knowing the knock on him, if there is one, that wants the bigger gig, if he's finally to the point said, no, you know what, this time I'm better than the University of Florida. My program is right now. Why would I leave? But fertile, more money to give to players, and it still is Florida. It's Spurrier. It's Urban Meyer. I get it. But maybe Lane's ego is right now where he says, you know what? I don't need those guys. They need more than me more than I need them. I'm going to do it right here at Ole Miss. I don't know, but I imagine if you're an Ole Miss fan, that's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about these jobs, and we'll continue to talk about it throughout the week. But the two jobs I still see, I mean, Wisconsin, we just talked about with Luke Fickell. That should be done. I think
I don't see how that still lasts. Agreed.
They just run the course basically the rest of the season, and then he'll be out. The other job I brought up, Colorado, Deion, whatever it is, it's just not working. You tried with Shadur and Travis Hunter, all the big celebrities, the big time coaches, Warren Sapp, and all these guys coming in to coach. You got beat 53-7 by Utah, who is not a good football team this year. You had negative 18 yards at halftime. Like, it's not working. And I don't know what his buyout is. I don't know any of that right off the top of my head. But those two jobs should open. But the job I'm still keeping my eye on is that Clemson job. I still don't know what I don't think it's a guarantee that Dabo is coaching Clemson next season.
So you think, okay, let me ask you this with Dabo. You think he gets fired?
I don't know. They'll never fire
him. It was a mutual agreement.
Yes, it'll be kind of like they were trying to do with Brian Kelly. Oh, we're just going to mutually agree to part ways here. Everybody knew he was
getting fired in
the middle of the season.
Okay, let me reverse this then.
I still feel like that's I would maybe put it 40-60,
okay.
The chance.
Now let me reverse this. Let's do Dabo Swinney like we did Brian Kelly. Meaning, now not in the same way that one's a brace. Now, Dabo's sensitive. Dabo is sensitive to a lot of it. The question is, even if you're at Florida or if he left, if he were to leave, is Dabo ever going to buy part of the buy-in for people into him? Is he going to buy into the NIL stuff that is inevitable until they change it or, regulate it? Will he buy into that, or is he going to keep – so you got to find buy-in. You just do. You're going to have to commit to it. I think he can be talked into it.
He started to the
– He's just late to the party. Right.
Started using it more. I mean, not much, but he's starting to come around.
He's going to have to buy in or he'll be done. He'll be archaic if he doesn't, unfortunately.
Right.
So I asked the question. It used to be that the only job Dabo would leave for would be Alabama. Well, Kalen DeBoer's team looks like a national title contender, mm-hmm. right? They look like a team that can go in there and compete for it, and they are definitely a playoff team. So let's just say it ends up being where he's in the Final Four and gets an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So that job's not open. So rule Alabama out. Now go LSU.
Yeah.
Now go Florida. Now go Penn State. I cannot see Dabo at Penn State. Sorry to tell you.
No.
But for those kind of reasons. But what if Freeman left to go to Florida? Lane stays or goes to LSU. Or Dan Lanning goes to one. What if Notre Dame job came open? If you're Dabo Swinney, you're a religious guy. I don't know what his religion is, but he's a mm-hmm. God-fearing guy. Do you go on there because this feels like a calling? You know what I'm saying? He's buttoned up. He's got a different – now, it's that Southern accent, and he gets into it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
A little Southern. But can you do that? I'm just throwing these names around because – but let's just – if you want to focus on the jobs that are open, why wouldn't you hire Dabo at Florida? Would you?
Yes, I would.
Lane Kiffin? Pick them.
Lane Kiffin.
It's same money, same amount of years. So you take it?
Lane Kiffin. And for me, at Florida.
Agreed.
Now, I think I might switch it at LSU. I think Dabo fits at LSU better. Just the whole aspect of Dabo at LSU kind of fits with the coaches they've hired over the years compared to Lane Kiffin. So I think Lane Kiffin fits Gainesville perfect.
Do you think Dabo would go to Cleveland, to Clemson? In a front office,
might go to Cleveland. Maybe
Cleveland. That too. Go to whatever you need. Don't do that, Dabo. Don't do that. Okay, because we don't want you back in college in 3 years, which you will be if you go to Cleveland. Okay,
and you want to deal with told us years ago. Nobody goes to Cleveland,
and it ain't the fans. It's just especially the organization there, Dabo. Don't do that because then you got to deal with 40 different quarterbacks and all the other stuff that goes with it. So, but with Clemson. If you're Dabo, do you believe, can he put his ego aside and say, my speech is getting old here, which we see it happen in a lot of places. When I say that, I know it's new recruiting every year, but do you get to a point, say, I can get better players at LSU, which I think you actually can, Siggs.
Yes.
Yeah, you can. So does he go do that, or is it still three guys won a national title? The question is, does Dabo feel like he's saving at Clemson? Or is he past that press conference? Well, they want to get rid of me. Oh, I ain't done coaching yet. I'm in a prime. I know how to win. So is that the start of this downhill thing? Or is it just to get paid more? or to get Clemson to make even another longer-term commitment to him? Do you really think there's a chance Dabo is a coach somewhere else, not Clemson, in 2026?
I think there is a chance, yes. Like I said, I would put it probably about 40-60.
The field or LSU?
I would take LSU.
Okay, the field or Clemson? If you have, I know you think there's a chance, I'm asking Clemson. You to bet it. Okay.
Like if we're taking LSU out of it?
No, keep LSU in it. Keep LSU in it. But he decides, they're giving him the decision. Is he staying at Clemson or taking the LSU job? The money's $1 million better long term a year at LSU than it is at Clemson. Let's just say
he would take LSU.
Okay.
In my opinion. I think he's kind of ran the Clemson thing dry. And he's got to be.
That's why I was asking about the speech, basically.
Yeah,
right?
They're not good. They're still getting good players. They still got Cade Klubnik. They still got all these draft picks. You know, I saw a mock draft today. Still three or four defensive players in that first round. But they're still not a good football team.
The sum is far better, far worse than the parts.
Yeah, something's just not working there anymore. He's still getting good players. But if you go to LSU, now you're in the SEC. Yeah, like, he's kind of always, we've talked about him being, I know it's just Alabama because of, you know, the being from there, but you go to LSU, you can get the same type of athletes that Alabama gets, that Florida gets.
And in some cases, better.
And now you're also having to play Alabama, then Ole Miss. Oh, then here comes Georgia. Here comes Mizzou. Now Vandy.
And you know, you never have to do sex. Worry about staying Death Valley, because you're in Death Valley at Clemson. You get Death Valley at LSU. So you never have to worry about, did I screw up? I'm not at that stadium. Epic. And if you're LSU, you would absolutely hire Dabo Swinney to
100%.
Coach if you want. If Lane was going somewhere else, you would 100% hire him, because he wins. You know, you're going to get a guy who's pretty moral, you know, pretty moral standards, regardless of that, you know, that it's not going to break any NC2A rules. He's going to be pretty much by the book, yet he knows how to win, and he's seen it.
Who is Dabo? He's exactly what Brian Kelly tried to be in all these recruiting videos where he's, you know, doing little dance. That's Dabo. That's the kind of shit he will do all the time.
But it's not forced. That's his style. Yes,
that's
he's
him.
Cheesy. He's got a little cheese in him. Yes, yeah,
that's him. Yep. And that's what it felt like LSU tried to make Brian Kelly into. And that's not what he was. So it just never gelled there in Baton Rouge. I think Dabo would be the perfect fit. For LSU,
Brian Kelly feels like the grandpa who gives the kid to the mom when the diaper needs changed instead of changing it himself. Right?
Just like,
this is
like,
below me, right? Yeah. I don't need to be. Brian's a good enough guy. He's a good enough guy, but I'm not turning $100 million program over to him anymore. I'm just not doing it.
Yes. Can't do it. Me neither. Yeah. Me neither. Yep. All right. Well, that'll do it for us today. But before we get out of here, our Kelsey prediction of the day.
And we'll hit NFL hard tomorrow.
Because
we don't want to do 2 hours today for you guys' purposes. But the NFL, it's not dated, because we got the, you know, who are the Packers? And we talk about Myles Garrett performance in Cleveland and who the best team is in the Colts. And I think Jonathan Taylor can make a case that he is the MVP in the league right now, Segs, not just offensive MVP. Yes. So we have so much to hit. But this coaching, this Brian Kelly, that's what we do. We try to play the hits. And right now, this is big in college sports. And since at some point this week, I want to talk to you about, you know, have you ever noticed when we talk about coaches that when they leave for a job or they get the big money, we never question if they lose enthusiasm. But if a player goes and has a bad season, you know what we say? You paid him a long-term contract. He got comfortable. Yep. Have you ever noticed that coaches, they don't hold coaches that standard? That, like, how do we know that Brian Kelly getting all that money just didn't get a little casual in his prep? I don't know. How do we know? How did it fall off like that? How are you do they get a little casual? We always say, oh, the kid, he got NIL money. What's he got to play for? No incentive, doesn't play as well. Or, well, look at this. This player in the NBA got this money, or this NFL quarterback. And now look, his game's gone to shit. But have you ever noticed when it comes to coaches, it's almost like they're immune to criticism about getting comfortable and getting lazy and casual? I got news for you. It exists. We automatically think because they're a coach, they're tough and they're tough minded and they don't get caught up in your ass. I got to believe, like everybody else, that a little bit of casual lazy sets in. I made $100 million. What are they going to do? Fire me? They owe me $60 million. I'm not saying in this case, but it does exist. And I wonder why we don't say that. Why don't we label that? Well, he got a little too comfortable on coaches, but we do on players at every level. Yeah. I mean, it's a conversation this week I want to have with you to see if you're on the same page as me, because it looks to me like some have just said, fuck it. I make $60 million. What are you going to do? Take my scholarship?
Yeah.
Damn right we're taking it. Right.
Yeah, give me my $55 million.
That's exactly
I'll,
right.
I'll leave. Yeah, I got no problem.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's almost a little too comfortable, Segs. Almost a little too comfortable.
And we'll continue to talk about the buyouts. The buyouts, these large buyouts are not a deterrent anymore with the way NIL is. Now you've gotten these boosters more involved in programs, even more than they already were behind the scenes. Now they can be the forefront. Why are teams doing this? How is it going to change? We've already seen Indiana go to the fully guaranteed big contract for Kurt Cignetti. I think that's the next domino for coaching.
You know what they, why they feel invested more now, too, Segs, when I was playing? Because you're giving money, and it's almost like you're sponsoring that player. So you take pride in it, right? That's my guy, so take pride in it. And you, and now, make no mistake about it, they are making decisions for the university. Do not care. Listen, if a $25 million NIL booster saying, I'll give this, when they're making decisions on a player, they are getting a say.
Yes.
Because the last thing that school wants to know is, ooh, he's taking $25 million back? Oh, hell no. So you see how that goes, Sig. So that's something we'll talk about. But good stuff today, man.
Real quick, though. Tonight, Monday Night Football, we got Washington at Kansas City. No Jaden Daniels. Kansas City minus 10.5 on Kalshi. 47.5 is set as the over-under. What's your prediction for tonight? Which one would you rather?
I think it's the under, and I think it's a friggin' ass whooping. You see, there's the Kalshi. You see where it's 84% got Kansas City. I'm one of the 84%. Kansas City's playing as good as anybody in the league right now, and both sides of the ball are killing it. Marcus Mariota, who I respect, Steve Spagnuolo is going to make it miserable on him tonight. Yeah. I'm just telling you that I don't think Washington has a chance in this game. I don't know. And I would say 10 points is a lot, and I'm not sure it'll even be that close. I respect Mariota, but you're dealing with one of the great play designers on the planet, and he'll have something for him. And right now, the way the Kansas City Chiefs are playing offensively with their team speed, this is Mahomes sitting down in the middle of the fourth quarter so he's not hurt at the end of the game. That's what kind of score this is.
The Commanders will have Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel, so that should help Mariota a little bit. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think this is a beatdown by Kansas City. Kansas City's rolling and looking
35-13 type of game, say.
Yes.
That would actually be 48.
Be over.
It's 47, right. So
35-10,
right. It's right in that range, but it'll be one-sided in Kansas City's favor.
Well, and you know what? Give me Kansas City minus the points, because if we look – and I want to talk about this tomorrow too. 8 of the 11 games yesterday in the NFL was a 2-touchdown or more loss.
Right.
And all but one. Only that Jets-Cincinnati game was the only single-digit point difference all day long. I mean, it was a shit.
Segs, I'm telling you yesterday. Now. And I know it was a horrible setup. You don't know that at the beginning of the season, but it was a bad lineup. And with some good teams on bye week. Segs, I'm going to tell you this too. A double digit, as you well know, a double digit point spread in the NFL is the equivalent of a 28.5 or 30 points, it feels like, on a college football Saturday. Now, we do see upsets like that, but I got news. Listen, it feels like a safe bet at 10 or 10.5 tonight. It just does. I don't think it's close. Kansas City's offense will move it just fine. They'll score and do what they want. I don't know how they're going to deal with Steve Spagnuolo. Mariota's going to have to make a lot of off-schedule plays tonight.
Yeah, and remember – Rashee Rice, we saw what he did in his week one last week. They're only going to get better. They're only getting healthier. So it's a scary time.
If you're going to get a futures bet on the Chiefs, you're probably late to the party now to be honest.
Especially if you're talking Super Bowl. Well, we said their odds all the way back to favorite to win the Super Bowl now on Kalshi. So
amazing.
We'll be back tomorrow at noon Central, 1 Eastern. We're going to talk all that NFL. We'll continue to talk the coaching. We'll continue to talk buyouts, and hell, we'll probably have another coach fired at this rate, the way college is going.
More conversation. You ain't lying, brother.
Yeah. So we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.
Great stuff.